Okay, we're going to review the topic that we've been doing for a number of weeks now, having up a website for Shabbos and Yontif. We are not talking about eBay and other activities like that online where you can set up to bid automatically on your behalf. That's a different shaila. We're talking about having a standard website. We've divided into three or four informational websites, transactional websites where the good is delivered after Shabbos or Yontif. It's not fulfilled on the spot. Number three is downloads that happen on the spot. You order music, you get it downloaded to your computer right then. And I said three or four because people were asking about donations as well, sites that take donations. So those are the different types of websites we're talking about, giving information, supplying information, doing business passively on Shabbos. And we said that there are seven potential prohibitions, any one of which can torpedo our web business on Shabbos. So we have to be able to get over each of the seven, not one or two of the seven. So each of the seven. So if we think about this, because we may treat those three to four different types of websites or activities differently, if we have an access of a graph, and on the right side we list, let's say, four types of websites: informational, donational, nonprofit, number two, number three, transactional, and number four, immediate download on Shabbos. We have that on the right axis. On the top axis, we have seven potential prohibitions, and we'd have to fill in the application of each of the potential prohibitions to those four different types of websites. We're getting 28, 7 times 4, right? 28 different results that we'd have to analyze. So we're not going to go in that granular detail. We haven't gone in that granular detail, but I'm going to give an overview of the concepts of the seven prohibitions. And in particular, as we go through, it would be helpful if you so desire, when I flag certain concerns about certain types of ways of doing business, or certain prohibitions or whatever it may be, we're going to come out in the end to say what's more problematic and what's less problematic. In other words, we're not going to have a black and white, you can keep every website open on Shabbos. We're not going to have the black and white that's going to say you have to close every website on Shabbos. We're going to see certain variables that are higher risk and more problematic, and certain things that are going to be less problematic. I'll flag those as we go through the seven potential issuim. So number one that we did, Shvisas Kalim. I'm going to define it, each one, as we go through. Shvisas Kalim. Shvisas is from the word Shabbos. And that was a question: do my appliances have to rest just like I have to rest on Shabbos? The Pasuk tells us I have to rest, my wife has to rest, my kids, my family has to rest, my servants have to rest, my animals have to rest. But how about my appliances? And that's a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai is machmir, says your appliances do have to rest on Shabbos. We're talking about setting things up before Shabbos. Beis Shammai is of the view that you can't even set something up before Shabbos to continue into Shabbos when you're passive. Backing up your computer from Friday goes into Shabbos. That would be problematic. Irrigating your field from before Shabbos into Shabbos, Beis Shammai would say problematic. Beis Hillel says it's mutter, not a problem. We're obligated to rest. Our animals are obligated, our families, our servants, but not our appliances. We can set up our air conditioner before Shabbos to run straight, or set it up on Shabbos clock. We're also makel on that. Our lights we put on Shabbos clocks, whether we leave them on and we put them on Shabbos clocks. And we can even leave up, according to this, a website. So Shvisas Kalim, we paskin like Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel, that it's mutter, our appliances do not have to rest, so we would not have a problem with Shvisas Kalim when it comes to Shabbos and Yontif. Number two is Hana'a Mimaaseh Shabbos. Hana'a Mimaaseh Shabbos means benefiting from something, a prohibited act that is done on Shabbos. So in other words, if somebody sends in an order, I, as the owner, the merchant, prohibited to benefit from that order. So the example would be if somebody cooks, and we're talking now about a Jew, not a non-Jew. A non-Jew is not obligated in Shabbos, only a Jew is obligated in Shabbos. If a Jew submits an order on Shabbos, is that problematic or is that not problematic? So if a Jew cooks an egg, bakes an egg, you don't bake eggs, bakes a cake, cooks an egg on Shabbos, that egg is prohibited until the end of Shabbos. The question is, can other people can benefit from that egg, can eat that egg after Shabbos, assuming it's kosher, it's cooked on Shabbos, and whether the person himself who cooked it can benefit from it or not after Shabbos. We're talking about a Jew cooking. It depends if he did it deliberately or he knew it was Shabbos or not. But let's leave him aside. The other people can benefit from it, and even the person who cooked it, Even if we assume that he can't benefit from it, he can benefit financially from it. Maybe he can't eat the egg. If he did it for Maisie, he did it deliberately, he cooked it, he can't benefit, but he can sell it on eBay and financially benefit from that. So let's apply that. We're talking about Hana'a Mimaaseh Shabbos. Somebody's benefiting from an Isser that was done on Shabbos. That egg, that order that was submitted, is that prohibited or not? So we said everyone else can benefit, and you can, even the person who did the sin, that's the person submitting the order, if he can benefit financially from it, so we would say it shouldn't be a problem also. If you can eat the egg after Shabbos, you can also fulfill that order after Shabbos. Rav Eliashiv nonetheless was machmir on this. He said it's like taking a picture at a wedding. That picture is prohibited. You can never redo the concept of waiting until after Shabbos. Shabbos is over, and it's a concept of waiting. If a Jew does a malacha for you after Shabbos, that you have to wait the amount of time that the non-Jew would take to do the malacha he did on Shabbos. Rabbi Eliashiv was of the view that certain things cannot be redone. If it was done on Shabbos, it's absolutely prohibited. He said the same thing, submitting an order. It is absolutely prohibited. Rav Nevensol disagreed, and he was of the view that it would not be a problem benefiting from an order submitted by a Jew on Shabbos. So we have two so far. We've gone through number one is Shvisas Kalim, which is not a problem. Number two is Hana'a Mimaaseh Shabbos. We have a machlokas between Rav Eliashiv and Rav Nevensol. So this is a potential problem. Benefiting from an order submitted on Shabbos, according to Rav Eliashiv, would be problematic. Number three, Mekach Umemkar on Shabbos. Mekach Umemkar, to define it as buying, selling, renting, lending and borrowing money. It's not borrowing your neighbor's ketchup and you give him back ketchup after Shabbos. That's not what we're talking about. But it's doing business transactions, negotiating to sell your car on Shabbos, you know, all of that. That is doing business. So how does that apply to leaving a website open on Shabbos? Sounds like I am in commerce on Shabbos. So we've brought four different important points down to say maybe it's indeed not problematic. Number one, we said that the definition of mekach umemkar, transacting business on Shabbos, requires some involvement of an individual on Shabbos. And our example was standing by a field to see what I need to do after Shabbos. In all appearances, the people, they're looking at the guy saying, oh, he's thinking about what he's going to do. And he's doing an action, and you're standing there at your field, and you think, well, I need to fix this, I need to irrigate, I'm by my construction site, I need to fix the roof, whatever it may be. There was an action that was done, some involvement, but somebody who has a website is totally passive. He's sitting at a Shabbos table, singing Zmiris, he's listening to Kriyas Satorah, he's not involved whatsoever. Rationale number two why it shouldn't not be a problem is, we said that the problem doing business on Shabbos is that you may come to right. You may come to right, which is an Isser D'oraisa. Oftentimes you want to put what you agreed to in writing. When you're at a website, there's no concern that you're going to be writing because your website is open. That's number two. Number three, Rabbi Akiva has a chumrah on this, that if you set up that a transaction will be effective on Shabbos, meaning what? You're on Friday, and you say, okay, our deal is going to conclude on Shabbos. I have a pidyon ben. Tomorrow's the day I need to be poed to this child. He's my bechor. I need to redeem him on Shabbos. And you affect that transaction you do before Shabbos that's going to be effective on Shabbos. That's a problem. So maybe it's a problem with the website, a transaction happening on Shabbos. But we said that Rabbi Akiva Eger is not applicable to us because no one is planning that transaction is going to be done on Shabbos. My website is open all the time. I don't care when people buy. If they buy on Shabbos, before Shabbos, after Shabbos, it's irrelevant to me. Rabbi Akiva Eger's concern was when they effectively agree, when they agree that the transaction will specifically be on Shabbos, somebody who owns a website doesn't care. So that's rationale number three, why mekach umemkar, transacting business, is not a problem. And number four, we also bought the precedent of the vending machine, Shaila. Can a Jew own a vending machine? A vending machine is the parallel to a website, even more concerning, problematic than a website. You have a physical vending machine in a public area. Somebody goes, puts money in, gets the item on the spot on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Does it have to be closed? And we brought various rationales and conditions why indeed it may be okay. And it is okay. Many postings say it is okay to leave it. Their concern was if you have a physical location that somebody's looking at and will associate that, there's a Jew, that's a Jew's location, they'll think you're doing business in that location. But a website, the vending machine is not like that. You don't have a physical location. Vending machine. That's why coin-operated washing machines may be a problem because you have it in a physical location. But vending machines, if it's in a public area, no one's going to jump to the conclusion that there's a Jew there doing business right then. So We did see that the Minchat Yitzchak did put a couple of conditions on it, that because you're delivering a good to somebody who's purchasing it on Shabbos, and you're also receiving funds on Shabbos, two conditions, he said, we don't want a kinyan on Shabbos, so make a condition that you are effectively granting the ownership to the purchaser before Shabbos, and you're having in mind that I'm not acquiring the funds in my machine until after Shabbos. And we make both of those conditions, the vending machine, indeed, we would be permitted. So only one possible concern is if people see that that site is associated with a Jew, then we may have a concern. I don't think that is such a concern because the Maharshag was really concerned if there's a physical location and people are going to jump to the conclusion that a Jew is doing business there. That was the concern, not on the World Wide Web, but we will flag this and get back to it in a little bit. Number four. So where are we? Mecca Chumemkar on Shabbos doing business transactions. We said you're passive, you're not writing. Various rationales, I think strong rationales to say why somebody who is sitting at Shabbos, who's not doing business actively, has no involvement, it would be permitted from the side of Mekach Umemkar doing business on Shabbos, doing business transactions, buying, selling, etc. Next, number four is Schar Shabbos. What's Schar Shabbos? Earning money on Shabbos. So earning money on Shabbos is from a service. It's not if you sell a good, for example, if somebody comes and they need something, and you're a merchant and you sell meat, and somebody comes and says, my meat was spoiled today, do you have some extra corned beef or pastrami, and he gives it to you, obviously you have to pay for that after Shabbos. Don't discuss the price on Shabbos, don't weigh it on Shabbos, but there has to be a payment after Shabbos. But Schar Shabbos, we're not talking about goods, we're talking about the babysitter question. We're talking about somebody who's supplying a service, a waiter working on Shabbos, getting paid for the time, effort, and service that he supplies on Shabbos. That is a question of Schar Shabbos, which is indeed prohibited for a mitzvah. There are those, the Rama says that we are matir for a mitzvah. For example, paying the rabbi only works on Shabbos, paying the mo'el is only working on Shabbos, paying the bal kor is only working on Shabbos. There is another rationale that we saw to be makel is havla. What does havla mean? That if I'm paying him not only for Shabbos, but I'm absorbing payments in addition to Shabbos service that he supplies during the week. So if that babysitter that I need to pay for Shabbos, I hire her for Shabbos also. She works for me for 2 days, Friday and Shabbos, and I pay it together, that I'm absorbing the Shabbos payment in the weekday payment. Or if I pay the bal koreh for his preparation time, not on Shabbos, I pay the babysitter for preparing a game to play with the kids. All of that is havla, that I'm absorbing the Shabbos payment and other warranted payments, and that would not be a problem. So when it comes to Schar Shabbos, earning money from a website on Shabbos, there are 3 points here. Number one, there are those that look simply at when was the transfer of funds. If I received the money on Shabbos, it's Schar Shabbos. If I don't receive the money on Shabbos, it's not a problem of Schar Shabbos. In other words, if I have orders submitted, but I don't process those orders, or if I have simply an informational website or a donation website that I'll process the credit cards after Shabbos, that would not be a problem of Schar Shabbos because I'm not receiving that money until after Shabbos, until after Yontif. However, if I receive the funds, for example, I have a processing arrangement, PayPal, and it gets into my bank immediately based on that, it would be problematic. So that is point number one. So when it comes to risky areas, Schar Shabbos, if we're of the view that what matters is the transfer of the funds, if that's our view, then receiving funds on Shabbos or Yontif would be a problem. Okay, let's go on to the next point. Havla, we said, is a heter for Schar Shabbos. Getting paid, I can't earn money on Shabbos, but if I can absorb things that I am permitted to pay for. So the example that we saw was the mikvah. Service, you're charging for a service in the mikvah, that's a problem, but it's a mitzvah also. But also because there are costs, and the cost, for example, the Note of Yehuda talks about the wood cost. I can charge for my expenses, my wood that I incurred in heating up the mikvah, I can do havla'ah, the service that I'm charging for, with the costs that I have incurred, and that would be permitted, because I can charge for hard costs. So to hear, when we have a website, if we have costs, which we always do, that we can absorb, I can also absorb my fees, my service fees, along with the cost. Now, we're talking really about when you're not charging for goods. We're talking about services. If somebody goes and wants to buy an article from you on Shabbos only, not a subscription. If somebody's paying for a subscription on my website for the whole week or the month, that's not a problem. We have a havla there. He's also paying for Shabbos and he uses it on Shabbos. That's fine. I'm getting the schar for not only for Shabbos. So if somebody's paying specifically for a service on Shabbos, we have a good argument that there's a havla. We're absorbing other costs within it. And the last point, and I think this is probably the strongest point, if we permit the vending machine, where schar Shabbos, you're really earning the money on Shabbos. Somebody's buying a good, putting money in the machine on Shabbos. The website, we would say the same. Even if somebody is downloading something, somebody is putting money in, downloading, getting the MP3s, getting their movie tickets, whatever it may be, I'm earning money today, but as long as I fulfill the requirements that we set for the vending machine, my condition is, he's going to own it before Shabbos effectively, I'm going to get the money, I'm going to have the mind to get the money after Shabbos, even if I receive the money on Shabbos. Just like that vending machine, the money went into the vending machine on Shabbos, we are going to say that indeed it is permitted. Okay, next possible problem goes like this. Marasayin, this is number 5. Marasayin means I'm not doing anything wrong, but I'm giving off the appearance that I'm doing something wrong. Somebody goes into a treif restaurant and is going for a business meeting, not going to eat any treif, but somebody is going to look at that and say, they're going to jump to the possible conclusion, you're going to a treif restaurant, you're going to eat treif. So you see a frum woman not wearing a, her head is uncovered, but she really has a sheitel, but people think her head isn't covered, right? So it's a question. You bring out the non-dairy creamer, you ask people, you want milk in your coffee after you had a fleish meal, you know, is there a problem with marasayin when you bring the non-dairy creamer? Now, all of those are mutter, because there's common knowledge that when you see a frum woman whose skirt is dragging on the ground and her sleeves are all the way down, and she it looks like it's not, you know, she you don't ever see a tichel or something, you know she's wearing a sheitel. So same thing with the non-dairy creamer and all of that stuff as well. So marasayin is indeed not a problem. There was nobody when I was working at companies that had websites that would come over to me in shul and say, oh, aren't you at work today? Because we have a website, we have an active website in commerce. It's just not relevant to extrapolate that because somebody has a website that you think that they are doing something as Chilul Shabbos. However, nonetheless, there are some from websites that do put up a notice to avoid any Maris Ayin problem or any Schar Shabbos problem, any Mekach U'Memkar concerns, that they do put up a sign that says orders will not be processed until after the Sabbath. So there are sites that go that extra mile or extra foot, extra meter, extra yard, whatever country you're from, and they go that next step. Okay, next, that was number 5. Number 6, Zilut to the Shabbos. What's Zilut to the Shabbos? It's from the word Zilzul. Very good. Cheapening of the Shabbos. So this is a concept that is based in the Gemara that talks about if you have a noise, meaning you set something up before Shabbos and you're grinding something on Shabbos, and that grinding sound you set up before Shabbos, not a problem of Shvisas Kalim, because I'm not obligated on my Shvisas Kalim, but there's a noise going into Shabbos. That's one understanding of what's going on in the Gemara and Shabbos there. And indeed, the Ramah has a concern. The Shulchan Aruch says it's not a problem. As long as you did your involvement before Shabbos, even if that noise continued into Shabbos, it is indeed not going to be a problem. Nonetheless, the Ramah says we should be concerned about this, setting something up that will be make noise. Websites don't make noise. They really don't make noise. But some of the contemporary Achron Yesheva, the Levi in particular, has expanded this concept, saying you can't only look at the limited understanding of Zilut to the Shabbos. If there's a noise that's created on Shabbos, don't start it even before Shabbos. But the concept is creating something that is a real pirtza. It's a breakdown of the Shabbos. And setting up a website and being in commerce over Shabbos, indeed, is a Zilut to the Shabbos. Although there are poskim that indeed disagree with that and say already Zilut to the Shabbos brought down, it's not so clear. We poskim, it's a problem even when there is noise. And if it's a financial loss, also even with the noise, we are lenient. So in our situation, there's poskim that say we should not expand from what the real prohibition is. If something is making noise, that's a real disgrace of Shabbos. But having a passive website open would not be a Zilut to the Shabbos. And number 7, which is a fairly complicated one, is the last one we end up with, Leaf Neiver. Leaf Neiver, now we're talking specifically not dealing with non-Jews, because non-Jews are allowed to be involved in commerce. There are a lot of type on Shabbos. They can do all of these activity on Shabbos. Our concern is I have a website open and I'm tripping up, putting a stumbling block in front of a Jew on Shabbos, and he's going to be typing on my website, so he's going to be doing either a deraisa or a derabanan of typing, of writing. It's machlokas whether typing on a computer is a deraisa or derabanan, and he's going to be doing business, and he's going to be putting orders in, etc. Am I over the violation of setting up a stumbling block, enabling, aiding and enabling somebody to commit an isra on Shabbos? And there we came out as follows, that if it's a unique good, well, let me start another place. If the website is in Hebrew, then it's Jews that are coming to it for the most part. If it's Judaica, even if it's in English, I'm selling a Rambam, it's Jews that are coming. Indeed, that is problematic. So in Israel, that's problematic. So this is a higher risk area. But if it's selling in English and it's a non-unique good, then we get to a question of, is this an Issur D'oraisa or an Issur D'rabbanan? And we said as follows, that if I'm the only source for buying a good, that's the imagery, is we're on opposite sides of the river. And only, in other words, I'm the only source for the Nazir getting the wine over the river. He's on one side, he wants, and I hand it to him. That's an Issur D'oraisa, because he could not access that item without me. The parallel would be a unique good. If I'm the only source to buy that good, then indeed it could be an Issur D'oraisa if I have a Jew buying from me. If it's a non-unique good, still we'd knock it down to an Issur D'rabbanan. That means the Nazir is on the same side of the river as me and giving him the wine. In other words, he could get the wine himself, but I still assist him. It's an Issur D'rabbanan now. My good is not unique. And there we have a number of Eterim. If it's a Mum or somebody who's Mechal Shabbos before Hesia would be one of the Eterim. If my assistance of tripping up happens before the Issur, that's not the case in this Issur. So we have different Eterim. Okay, so that's the, and then another heter, and this is a big heter, and we'll see this into a little bit more depth shortly, is if it's a suffix. Maybe a Jew is going to order, maybe a Jew is not going to order. We saw that in the context of, can you give somebody who you're not sure is going to wash his hands for a piece of bread that you give him, or you're not sure he's going to say a bracha. We said if you're certain he's not going to wash his hands, if you're certain he's not going to say a bracha, it's leaf ne'iver, a Jew we're talking about. However, if it's a suffix, we are lenient not only on the misayeya, but also on the Issur D'oraisa of leaf ne'iver. Okay, so when it comes out, we've gone through seven. This is the overview of the seven potential problematic areas. These are the more problematic areas. Number one, a site associated with a Jew. Maybe, according to some, maybe problematic, maybe not, from the side of Mekahu Memkar. So this is, for example, artscroll.com, or if we'd have Chaim Schmaltz Herring, right? Those would be more problematic, possibly, than others. But if it's a non-generic web, if it's a generic website, not associated with a Jew, it's a branded website, branded by a company, then it would be okay from that perspective. According to some poskim, when it comes to Schar Shabbos, receipt of funds on Shabbos would be more problematic, but we did find heterim for that also. Even if we receive the funds on Shabbos, just like the vending machine, we can make the tnai, I'm not mekabel it until after Shabbos. There are some poskim that say, this is number six, zilut to the Shabbos. We saw the Shevet Alevi, they have the view that it is a zilzul for Shabbos. Others disagree with that. And number seven is something that you really have to grapple with, is the leaf ne'iver, targeting of Jews, Hebrew website, selling of Judaica, website in Israel. Then we have a real shaila, is it a leaf ne'iver, is it a messiah, and do we have something upon which to be lenient? So the bottom line here is it depends. With somebody that has up a website, it's very rare that somebody would not have a website in anything you do, to ask a shayla and have it analyzed, because we've gone through seven separate isurim and it has to be analyzed for each and every one. What I want to do quickly is hold the questions. Is to go through. This is probably the most popular Hilcha Shabbos sefer called Or HaShabbos, written by two authors. One of them is a big posek rav in Har Nof, Rabbi Rubin. And what I want to go through is see that he has an analysis. Turn to page number 2. And I want to see, the Shevet Alevi's psak was a few years ago. Rabbi Elashev was asked a few years ago. This is something that we would look at as a more updated view of commerce on Shabbos. So we're going to talk about Mecca Chomemkar. We are going to start with the vending machine. And then we're going to see a small comment that he has in a footnote as it relates to websites. So we're going to start on page number 2. It says Roman numeral 2 on the top side. This is Orcha Shabbos. On the bottom, in the middle, where it says number 3. So it's Mechona Lemechirat Mishkot. Somebody who has a vending machine. So it says as follows. Haba l'ha'amid nechona otomatit. What does otomatit mean?
Automatic.
Thank you so much. Oh, it's automatic. If there's a word that you see in Hebrew that doesn't make any sense, it's English. So if somebody wants to set up a vending machine, the mechiras mishkot, to sell beverages or whatever else it may be, okay, yotzei bazeh pretzels and potato chips, yesh tahavchin bazeh bein shnei mikrim. We were going to divide up between two components, two possible situations. And they're both geared at who are your purchasers. So situation number one, we're in the Aleph. It says as follows. Im ha-mechona omedes b'makom bo shchichi mechalalei Shabbos. If you are in a place that there are commonly, and then the words matter, shchiach, it is common that there are those Jews who are mechalal Shabbos, they're non-observant. Ha'alulim liknos meha-mechona b'Shabbos. And they may likely purchase from your vending machine on Shabbos. The next words are so critical. Min haroi. Min haroi doesn't mean you have to. It means it's advisable. It is preferable lahafsik et peulat ha-mechona kodem ha-Shabbos. It's preferable that you stop the activities of the vending machine before Shabbos. In other words, the way to do that is unplug it or empty out the goods before Shabbos. Now, he doesn't say it's usher. And he's also talking about where we have Jews that are present that would commonly be purchasing from this machine. So why is that okay? Why is that not absolutely nifneiver, misayeya? So he says in a footnote here, quoting Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach from the Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kielchasa. Shmir Shabbos Kielchasa, when I was in yeshiva, was the book on Shabbos. That was the primary work on Shabbos. Now Orach HaShabbos, three volumes, is the primary work on Shabbos. They're both great. So we have the Orach HaShabbos quoting the Shmir Shabbos Kielchasa, who's quoting Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, the Shmir Shabbos Kielchasa. Rav Neurath asked many of his shaylas to Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach. So he says as follows, he turns to a Mishnah in Shvi. Shvi deals with halachas of Shemitah. And in the year of Shemitah, you're not allowed to plow your field. So you have a serious question. If you have somebody who doesn't keep the Shemitah, a Jew, and he wants to buy an ox from you, so the rational thing to believe is, what's he going to use that ox for? He's going to plow his field. He's going to plow his field. So that's leaf neiver. So Rav Shlomo, the Mishnah says that it's mutter. It says as follows, the mutter limkar para choreshet lechashud ala shvi. You can sell him that ox regardless. Why is that? Because the concept here, and this is what Shlomo Zalman Arbach paskins, when it comes to leaf neiver, we can be lenient and we can be tola. We can find an argument to say, how is this person not going to violate the prohibition? And the rationale is, maybe he's going to shech the animal. Maybe he's going to do something else with the animal, even though the preponderance of the evidence would be, even though the most rational thing to say is he's going to use this animal to plow his field, as long as I can find an argument, probably a reasonable argument, even a distant argument to say he's not going to plow his field, he's going to use this animal for something else, this is a real suffix, right? We find an argument, then it's permitted. So we see here, that's why you pass in vending machine. In a place that a lot of Jews, and Jews typically buy from your vending machine during the week, there's reason, very big reason, the preponderance of the evidence shows that they're going to buy in Shabbos also, as long as we can find a rationale that maybe they won't, that is indeed sufficient to say it's preferable to close the vending machine, but not required. It's not usher if you don't close the vending machine. Okay, so we're on the next page, where it says Roman numeral 3. So we're at the way top. It says as follows. This is Orach HaShabbos, the 22nd parak. It says, page Shin Mem Tes, Im HaMechona Omedes. This is the next situation. If that vending machine is in a place, B'makom Sherubo HaGadol Goyim, that the majority of people, or the vast majority of people, are non-Jews, Ein Yehudi Mechalali Shabbos Shchichim, and it is not common for Jews or Mechal Shabbos to do commerce there, it's not required to stop doing business before Shabbos. Not required whatsoever. So he brings down in the footnote some very important points here. And he goes as follows. He says, Mekach u'memkar, Shchar Shabbos, and Lif Ne'ever. He talks about all three of those. And he says why they are not a problem. So he says when it comes to Mekach u'memkar, doing, transacting business on Shabbos, Ein shum pe'ula o amira hamitachsot lekinyan Shabbos. When you're setting up this website, there's no kinyan, there's no action that relates directly to Shabbos. In other words, your website is open just like the rest of the week. I'm not planning to do business on Shabbos. If somebody does business on Shabbos, fine, but that doesn't relate to me. So I'm not engaged in business on Shabbos. I'm engaged in business, and that's my tool for business, which is open all the time. I haven't targeted Shabbos. So he says, no problem, a mecha humemka. When it comes to Schar Shabbos, he also says, there is indeed no problem earning of Shabbos, because when you're selling something, he says there's no problem of Schar Shabbos. This is something that is meant to sell, a vending machine. And when it comes to Leaf Na'iva, and this I want to look inside, we're in where it's listed, labeled number 9. Number 9, where it's underlined. Ba'af. Sheyesh b'makom zeh miyut shel mechalel le Shabbos. Even though in this place there is a minority of people who are mechalel Shabbos, them alulin liknos meha mechona b'Shabbos, and they indeed could. They could, in theory or in practice, purchase from this vending machine. Mikol makom ein lachush lazeh. We don't have to be concerned about this minority that may purchase, minority of Jews that may purchase from our vending machine. Lachush lazeh, the lav, the leaf ne'ever, lotiten mirchsho. We don't have to be concerned about leaf ne'ever. Kevan she'ikar tzuras hamadas hamechonahu klapei rov hanachrim. Because the vast majority of the people that I'm trying to sell to are non-Jews. I don't have to worry about a small minority of Jews who may purchase. That is not who I am targeting. So that is indeed a very important point. That would knock out, by the way, a Hebrew website. That would be problematic, or a website selling Judaica, or a website in Israel, indeed, as we said before, would be problematic. Just to finish up, number 10 at the bottom. This was all vending machines. How about websites? When it comes to websites, v'nire, shigam le'inyan atar mechirot, ayedei machshev v'chadome dina hachi. When it comes to selling by way of a computer, he didn't want to say the internet here. It's not a clean word, so he says selling things via computer, shim ikar hakoni mimenu hem yehudim, if the majority of people, your target audience, they are Jewish, kegon shatvarim ketuvim b'saf ha'ivri, like it is written in Hebrew, the website is in Hebrew, that is your target audience, ein lahashir et atar patuch b'Shabbos, he said you should not leave the website open on Shabbos, but divide it now, if your target audience is Jews, and it's in Hebrew, for example, shut it down on Shabbos, we're concerned. However, v'im ikar hakonim hem nochrim, if you're the preponderance of your koni, your purchasers, your target audience is non-Jews, ein isra min adin, there is no mi'ikar adin problem, hashira patoch b'Shabbos, leaving open that website on Shabbos, u'mikomakom le'inyan maisa, leish lishol l'gdolei horah, l'halakha l'maisa, you should have your website analyzed and ask a psak. So there we have it. In the roundup, we are definitely not coming out saying that all websites are problematic. There are certain things that are higher risk. Targeting Jews in Hebrew, in Israel, very high risk, and that can be problematic. But businesses in Chutz La'aretz, unless they're geared towards Jews, Jewish purchasers, if it's geared toward from purchasers, then that shouldn't be a problem. We're really geared toward Jewish purchasers, or in Hebrew, in Israel, most people are non-observant, I guess. I don't know what the breakdown is, but I assume they're more... 30% is observant. Okay, so in Israel, in Hebrew, would be a problem. In Chutz La'aretz, if you're gearing Judaica, maybe Judaica wouldn't be a problem if that's the case, because my target audience isn't on the web on Shabbos. So do I have to be concerned about... I don't know. Well, I'll leave that as an interesting open question that doesn't get addressed here. Okay, questions?
What is this Rov HaGadol? Luckily, a Rov is...
Okay, it's a great question. He's not quantifying here. And that is why you have to ask a Shaila, because what happens if 10% is Jewish and 90% is not? You know, so typically if we say Rov, it means majority. So 51%, over 50%. That's not enough here. That's not enough. It means my purchasers. If you're selling in the United States and you're selling a widget, the percentage of people in the United States who are Jewish is what percent? Is 6% 6 million Jews, let's say, out of 300 million people. Who can do the math for us real quickly? 2%. That's the Rov HaGadol is goyim. That would be okay. But in Israel, it wouldn't be okay. If you're targeting students at Ivy League schools, Harvard, Columbia, etc., 30% Jewish, 40% Jewish, we don't have that would be a problem likely. That's not the Rov HaGadol goyim.
That's yeah, I understand, but the whole svara of Rove is I can assume each action came out of the Rove. So, where did the concept of Rove come from?
It's a different. It's a different analysis. No, leaf naiver isn't, oh, the majority, I don't have to be. I have to be concerned about each, and you have to look at every transaction. That's the concept here. Leaf naiver, if I know, it's kind of, this is the parallel. Can you brush your hair on Shabbos? Okay? So each time I brush one time, what's the concern? Gozes, pulling hair out, right? Gozes and Isser Doraisa. What?
But
Davar Shein Niskavim, but it's a psik reisha. Psik reisha means, so that's the question. Each time I come out, it's not a psik reisha, right? But if I look at it, if I comb 10 times, I'm going to pull out a hair. So I have to look at it as the group together. There's a psik reisha, and it's usher to brush hair on Shabbos. There are certain, if you use a soft bristle, a baby brush, and it's only to fix something. But in general, it's usher to comb, hard comb, or brush, because I have to look at the whole deal, right? So here I would say the same thing. We have to look.
The act of combing is more than one pass through.
Look at the package.
The act of having a website open involves multiple transactions.
Multiple purchasers.
Right.
There'll be multiple purchasers in all likelihood. Yes. The issue is if it's just the outliers, I don't have to worry about them. The 2%, 8%, I don't know what it is. I don't know what the cutoff is. I don't have to worry about them, but I have to worry about everyone else.
It's never looking backwards. Meaning, if I know from statistics, yes, 2% of my purchasers are Jews, yes, that's still okay, Rova Gadol.
That's the concept of tolim, right? The shvis, tolim. As long as I have a rationale. Okay, very good.
Also,